to earlier, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the armor of God, the importance of the armor of God. Today, we're going to be talking about the feet of ours being shed, or shod, shod with the preparation of peace. So, Joshua, put that picture up for us, please. We talked in the last couple of weeks. The first week, we talked about the belt of truth, right in the middle, in verse 14. And also in verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. What we think of mainly when we think of armor is that those two pieces, but there are other parts that are essential to us. I'd like to bring out something special about the text, but let's just read together from Ephesians chapter 6. That's our home text for the next weeks. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. For we do not wrestle against... Oh, well, let's stand together. Half of you were anyway. Boy, you guys are learning. That's great. Amen. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Father, we thank you for your word today. That is powerful, it is true, and it is alive. It's alive in our hearts, God. We thank you for that. Father, we pray as we continue in our series this morning, Father, you continue to give us this imagery of the armor and how we need to apply it. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Church, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
So if it's written in God's word, it must be good for us. Amen. So if the armor is written in God's word for our benefit, it must be good for us to take on. And I'll go further than that, and I'll say that it's essential for you to take up the armor of God. We've talked the last couple of weeks about the belt and the breastplate, and we're going to talk about our feet today. It's important that we remember today that this armor isn't an option for successful warfare as a Christian. And I've mentioned in weeks past that if you don't feel like you're under a warfare once in a while against the enemy and against your flesh, remember that there's something that's missing in your spiritual walk. Because if you're really truly serving God, Satan doesn't like it. And he's going to come against you. And we shouldn't be surprised that things happen occasionally in our lives that cause us not to be discouraged, not to be disappointed or be distraught, but to lean us back toward God and drive us to Him. You know what the biggest difference between exhortation or encouragement or a conviction and condemnation is? We've experienced both in our lives. Conviction leads us back to God when God confronts us with something. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our spirit, it leads us back to God. We find ourselves as the prodigal son saying, oh man, not I should have had a V8, but I should have been back where God was waiting for me to catch up with him again. Condemnation, on the other hand, drives us away from God. How many have felt both condemnation and conviction in your life? Satan would want to condemn you today. He would tell you that your life isn't worth living for Jesus Christ, that the pain that you feel and the investment you have to put in isn't worth a relationship that's alive with Jesus. And I'll tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And serving him, although it may be trying at times, is the best thing you'll ever do with this vapor of smoke we call our life on earth. And I'll tell you, I've been serving God for over 40 years, 45 years, and he has never once failed me. Never once failed me. I have failed him plenty. Don't get me wrong. I have failed him over and over again, but he remains faithful. It's his nature to be faithful. And when I take up the armor of God, I am less likely to fail him when it comes to warfare. Now, I had those moments, and we all have, when we've sat down before God and said, God, I don't know if I can do any more of this. How many have been there recently? God, I just can't do any more. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. If something else comes, I think I'm just going to snap. And the last time I said that before God, God reminded me of a verse in the Bible. Jesus is speaking. He says this, whoever falls upon this rock will be broken. But on whomever this rock will fall, it will grind him to powder. You know, when I feel despondent and I feel discouraged in my life and I feel like life's not worth living for Jesus, it's what's true about me is that my pride has gotten in the way of my servanthood. And Jesus wants me to break myself over him. Now, I know that seems kind of muddy, but I'll tell you something. Have you ever worked with Play-Doh as a kid, right? Moms, you've had it for your kids. Here, go play with Play-Doh for an hour. Then you find out it's all over the house because it's fun to pull apart and throw and all that kind of stuff. But Play-Doh, when it's soft, is malleable. When it gets hard, you can break it like almost like clay. And what happens is when pride sets in our life and when we don't apply the armor of God, it hardens our heart. It makes us hard. It makes us crusty. And we aren't malleable anymore, and we aren't able to be molded to the image of Jesus. So Jesus says, break yourself over me. Why? So we might accept the image of Jesus again. So whenever I feel like it's not worth it to live for Jesus, my pride has placed a crust over my heart, and I cannot hear God's word, and I need to be broken over Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying. On whomever falls upon this rock will be broken. What's broken? Not our lives, our pride, our will. And I'm reminded again that I need to serve Jesus. I need to be making him the first and most important thing. And when he presses his image into me, just like Play-Doh, and I peel it back, I see the image of Jesus in my life. And when I show myself, that's what people should see. It's a great thing about Play-Doh. You press it into something, it accepts that image. And Jesus wants us to be that way with him. That when he presses his image into us, that when he peels us back and he reveals us to the world, they see Jesus in us. Now let's get back to the sermon this morning and putting our feet in a proper place, being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Maybe you've read this over and over again and say, oh, I don't know exactly what that means. Well, hopefully today you'll gain some new insight. Maybe you'll gain a little bit of assurance and maybe you'll say, light bulb. I never saw that there before. And I want the light bulb to turn on for you this morning, because with each piece of armor, I want you to remember that's not for our body that we put it on, it's for our heart. It's for our heart. This is all meant to protect our heart. To protect the part of us that's eternal, the part that Satan would want to win over to him, and more than that, to separate us from God. So let's go back to verse number 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, walking through something is really indicative in the word of ownership. Remember, Abraham was told to leave his family and to start walking. One weird thing about Abraham, God never told him when to stop. Didn't tell him where he was going, but just had him start walking. And in Joshua chapter 1, God speaks to Joshua. And this is the very first promise God gives Joshua. Do you remember the very first time God spoke to you? Maybe you do. I remember the very first time I think God spoke to me, and I've never forgotten that. And here's Joshua's first speaking by God into his heart. In verse 2 it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. How would you want to start your ministry that way? The guy before you died, he's gone. He's not coming back. You're on your own. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, the place where Abraham walked hundreds, if not thousands of years before that. Verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I want you to take that verse and I want you to put it in the back of your brain for right now, because we're going to deal with that at the end of the message. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Remember that verse. There's something about walking and taking ownership of where you walk. Now, you know very well, if you live in town, especially where your lot lines are and where your property starts and stops. And when you know you're on your neighbor's property, it feels a little bit weird because you know it's not yours. But you can walk through your property with ease and with assurance, knowing this is mine. It's my property. And I thought about this morning. I was walking around the campus of the church, and I thought, God, you've given us an awesome place to meet, awesome place to be with you. What a great opportunity we have to see you work here. And I'm grateful for the place he's given us. And as I walked around, I knew I was home. I didn't have to worry about treading on anybody else's property. This is ours. So there's something special about walking on what you own. Okay, so remember verse number 3. A little historical background. An army couldn't be effective if it wasn't mobile. Through wars of history, long before tanks, even before horses were used, men had to walk every place they went to fight war. And because of that, their mobility was really important. Now, the sandals they wore, or the feet being shod, were in addition to the sandals on their feet. And sometimes armies were so poor they couldn't afford to put shoes on their warriors. A lot of times it happens in war that if you can't move, you lose the battle. In fact, in the Civil War, and in the Revolutionary War, what was happening was men were getting cold and suffering because their shoes weren't good enough, their feet were getting cold, they were getting pneumonia, and they were dying. When your feet suffer, all of you suffer. Who can say amen to that? That part that touches terra firma all the time is very important to us often. And so an army that would be retreating or moving would oftentimes in the main pass put sharp sticks or rocks or glass or pottery and strew them in the way they knew their enemy was coming after them. Why? Because if some of them didn't have shoes, they would automatically pierce their foot and be immobile. And it would hamper the army's movement that was following them. So why is it important for us to have our feet shed with the gospel of peace? Well, it's not about evangelism. Some have taught that it's about going out and sharing the good news, and certainly the word says, blessed are the feet of those who have the good news. How lovely their feet are. But in this case, Paul's whole context in Ephesians 6 isn't about evangelism, it's about warfare. Remember that. It's about warfare. It's not about going out and sharing the gospel. It's about standing firm, as we read in the first part of our text, having done all to stand. Well, you can't stand if your feet are hurting you. So why is it important? It's important for our warfare. The gospel of peace is about warfare. And peace in our lives with Jesus Christ doesn't come in between the warfare. It comes during it. In the Old Testament, it says that they had peace. You know, they had years of peace between battles. And that peace wasn't hard. Once the battle was won, they had peace. They didn't have to worry about it. But there's something special about being in a war and having peace. And spiritually for us as Christians, a lot of times we'll be in warfare, but if we've applied the preparation of the gospel of peace, when the gospel message becomes our peace, it doesn't matter what Satan does to us, we have peace in our lives. Maybe some of you have faced something in recent past that normally it would have really troubled you, it would have anguished you in your heart, but something is different and you have a particular peace inside of you. And you're not worried. Had it happen recently, and I remember I was praying and I felt a spiritual battle that I was praying through, and all of a sudden a peace of God just washed over me, and I knew at that moment that God said it's going to be okay. And you have to be in a place sometimes where God can shower you with his peace. But you know what? Part of that is knowing what the gospel says about peace. Knowing what it says about peace. In Psalm 23, that psalm we all know, we could probably all quote it together. We've learned from the time we were young. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff that comfort me. You realize that David, the author here, is saying, even as I'm walking through the valley of shadow of death, I'm not afraid. I'm at peace. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. He knew the good news about God never forsaking him, always being with him, and how God would guide him in the way as he struggles through the path. And I'll tell you something, if you get lost in warfare and you feel chaos around you and you don't know how to pray, it's time to ask God, Father, I need to have your footsteps in front of me. I need your rod and your staff to guide me the place I should go so I can be at peace during this thing. He may not relieve you of it, but he will see you through it. I promise you. I promise you God will be faithful. But you have to understand that even David said, as I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because you are with me. And sometimes that's the only promise that we need from God in order to undertake and to stand up against the temptation or the trial or the testing that we're facing. In John 14, Jesus was talking about the kind of peace he gives. He says this. He says this in John 14, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You see, the peace that Jesus gives isn't like any other peace you can have here on earth. When God gives peace, it is complete peace. In fact, it's a peace that the Bible says passes our own understanding. I can't understand how I'm not afraid, how I'm not troubled. I can't understand why I'm not concerned about this, but there's a peace of God that comes on me that changes me. You know, it's often said that prayer changes things. And we'll talk about that in the end of the series. But you know, prayer doesn't change things as much as it changes you. Prayer is meant to change you. Prayer is meant to change your life. It's meant to have a lasting effect of change on you so that when you pray, something happens in here. Then it seems like every circumstance you face, every situation you're in, changes around you. Why? Because the peace of God passes your understanding. I've talked with just people recently who've been under struggles and trials, and they feel like sometimes it's so hard to continue the fight. But what's really encouraging to me is the fact when they say, but you know what? I have such peace. I have such peace. I realize I'm not going to probably change what's happening around me, but it's not affecting me the same way. Why? Because Jesus gives peace like nobody else can give peace. Whether it's a physical ailment or malady that we have, or it's something emotional that we're trying to struggle through with a relationship, or it's something mental or physical or spiritual or financial, sometimes it's the one place we don't need to be fighting the battle, but God says, if you allow me to, I'll fight it with you and fight it for you. And I'll give you the peace when you're going through it. This peace comes by reconciliation. This peace comes when our lives are reconciled with God. It's a fulfillment of a promise that when our lives are right with God, then His peace comes. I want to read a section from Ephesians chapter 2 that Paul talks about, this ministry of reconciliation that God gives us through His peace. For He Himself is our peace, verse 14, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation. He's talking here about the Jews and the Gentiles. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments ordained contained in the ordinances, as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. That he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. What's Jesus saying? What's Paul saying here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He's saying this. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up in, doesn't matter what your last name is, what people thought of you as you're growing up. What matters is that when the cross of Jesus was fulfilled, all had taken place to reconcile you back to God. So that the most hardened criminal and the most good person on earth could be one. Now remember, the most hardened criminal, the most good person still need a Savior. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. So I need a Savior just as much as somebody who walks the street of New York looking for somebody to mug. I need a Savior. But God, through the cross of Christ, takes away that barrier that there is not a second-class Christian with God. And if you feel second-class, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. God has given you all the riches of his glory. And he's given you that reconciliation with him, that as soon as Jesus died on the cross, rose again, it afforded us a position with the Heavenly Father that we couldn't get on our own. And we have peace because he gives it to us. The peace that Christ gives us protects us from fear. One of the greatest weapons of the enemy is fear. When we are afraid, we are ineffective. When an army was afraid, it was ineffective. How many times do you read in the Old Testament how the men of Israel were afraid and they fled? Or when they were on God's side, their enemies were afraid and they fled. And you know, when you speak the name of Jesus, there is a terror that comes upon the demonic realm and the spiritual warfare. When you speak the name of Jesus, there is fear about God. But when we speak Jesus, there's a peace that comes. Why? Because Jesus is not only our Savior, as Dennis said before, but our Lord. He's our victor. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the everlasting God. He is the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus gives us peace, it takes away all fear. Peter said, we haven't been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Where do you think that sound mind comes from? The peace of God. That passes all understanding. You see, it all fits together. And having our feet shod protects our feet no matter where we go with God. And there's where I'm going to draw the sermon to a close this morning. And I want to grab one thought that I want you to take home with you. When you put on the armor of Christ, and when you are walking with Jesus and you're walking in the kingdom and you're walking with his name, wherever you put the sole of your foot is the dominion of God. It's his domain. Why? Because of God's peace that rests on you. And the same promise he gave Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, he gives to you and to me today. Wherever you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. What part of your life do you need to take and give God dominion over today? It's time for us to use the gospel to give us the peace and the power. No matter where we put our foot spiritually, God gives us that. If you need victory this morning, maybe you came to the altar and you just needed victory over something this morning, I'll tell you what. Just remember that wherever you put your foot spiritually, God has given you that domain. And wherever you walk, his dominion is already set. Do you know that people, when they were in armies, the very first thing that went was the banner of the flag of the one they represented? Why? Because they were saying, in effect, this land is ours because we represent this man. And when you go out with the peace that passes understanding, it's like God puts his banner over you and says, yes, that is your dominion. And wherever you put your foot spiritually, that is the dominion and the domain of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter what position or what situation you find yourself in. Where you walk is the dominion of the Father, if you have Jesus living inside you. And we need to remember that's important for us. So shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of knowing Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Knowing that Jesus said, all is finished, it is finished, it's been accomplished, it's done. Knowing that Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, therefore go out with that authority. Those are just a few of the promises that Jesus gives us. If he lives in here, we can do these things. Jesus says, greater things will you do than this because I go to my Father. When's the last time you felt that assurance in your life saying, I need to do greater things for God than what I see Jesus doing in the Bible? Not in miraculous ways, but just in numbers. Because when Jesus left, he emancipated all of the gospel to the 12 and to those that heard them and those that heard them and so on and so on and so on. So the gospel went out over all the world and millions of people have had an effect on their lives because of the gospel of one, Jesus Christ. The good news. What's the good news? John 3:16. For God so loved. He loved you enough to send his son. He loved you enough to give you all the warfare equipment that you need to be not just a survivor, but a thriver with him. And I'm tired sometimes of people who don't feel like they have that authority that God has given them. The authority was established 2,000 years ago when Jesus died. We just have to pick up the baton and run with it. That's the authority. The authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, teach all nations. Go, therefore, baptizing people. Go, therefore, discipling all others. Why? Because we have the authority of Jesus in us. And when our feet are shod with the knowledge of that gospel, there is peace wherever we go. And there's an assurance wherever we find ourselves. Amen? So not only do we put on the girdle of truth, now we do put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect the most core of our body and to hinge the armor, but we put on our shoes, our sandals, and those sandals had like bands of steel that were over each other so that nothing could fall on the feet and damage the feet. And there were underneath were the protection, so the feet were protected. Why? Because a warrior that can move is a warrior that's effective. Didn't Jesus say that the gates of hell will not prevail against you? The last time I looked at a gate, it didn't move. Am I right? A gate was an established boundary. But the gates of hell will not prevail against you if your feet are shod with the knowledge and that preparation of God's peace and the gospel. Thus, the gospel becomes our peace. Knowing God's word brings peace. God wants us to walk in peace. He wants to have us walk in victory. He wants to have us walk with His thriving in us, to have life, as John 10 says, to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Don't let the enemy steal your shoes and kill your mobility. Put something on your feet that lasts forever. Put something on with the dominion of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, there's great power, there's great